Hey everyone, welcome back to the Just Glow With It podcast. And if you're new here, welcome. My name is Jasmine. I am a certified life coach. I am a lifestyle content creator and the host of this podcast where we talk about all things wellness, personal development, self-care, lifestyle, habits, mindset, and pretty much everything else in between. And I'm so excited for this week's episode. I know it seems like I've been saying that for every single episode, but I am truly, genuinely so excited for today's episode. I always get so many comments or DMs from you guys saying that I feel like your internet big sis, and I love that because I am a big sister in real life. And although being the big sister can be very difficult and it comes with its challenges for sure, there's also so much beauty that comes in being the role of the big sister. And the reason why I'm even bringing this up is because today's guest brings very much big sis energy as well. I am chatting with Alyssa Davis today, also known as True2Liss on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. She is everywhere. And she is my internet bestie, at least I would like to think. Okay, we've been following each other for a minute now. I believe she discovered me through my podcast and then we started following each other, and I just love Alyssa's vibe. I love her energy. As you will hear in today's episode, Alyssa truly exudes energy of warmth and grace, and I left today's conversation just feeling so filled up in my soul. I was telling her how, you know how you have those friends where every time you hang out with them or every time you talk to them, you just leave feeling so good, so filled up. And that's exactly how I felt talking with Alyssa today. And I just know you guys are going to love her, especially because, like I said, she has that big sis energy as well. And she just has so much value and love and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful energy to share. And it shows throughout all her platforms, whether it's on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, you just feel her warmth and her energy through the screen. So a little bit more about Alyssa. She is a Houston-based content creator. She creates content around lifestyle, self-care, wellness, and she's also a faith-based content creator as well. And in today's episode, we are chatting about how to enter your grown woman era. She shares her journey from girlhood to womanhood and some of the internal and external changes she needed to make in order to become the beautiful, graceful, confident woman that she is today. We talk about how to build confidence, how to get to know yourself and stand in your own truth unapologetically, authentically, and confidently. We also get into how to live a more faith-based lifestyle if that is something that you are interested in. Like I said, Alyssa is also a faith-based content creator, so a lot of the content that she creates, the topics that she discusses, has to do with her faith. So if you have been wanting to live a more faith-based lifestyle or perhaps deepen your current spiritual journey that you are on, Alyssa provides so many beautiful insights and perspectives and also practical tools and tips on how you can do that. And then, of course, we had to get into a bit about her journey as a content creator. So we'll get into that in today's episode, but to pretty much sum it up, Alyssa has grown to over 100,000 followers on both Instagram and TikTok in less than a year, or about a year, I'm pretty sure. And she has just been thriving on her content creation journey on top of also working a 9-to-5. So yes, our girl is a corporate girly, and I know a lot of you will be able to resonate with that, and that's honestly a big reason why I wanted to have her on the podcast, because she can give a different perspective. And so Alyssa also creates a lot of content and just sharing tips on how she balances self-care and prioritizing herself even though she lives a very busy lifestyle, from her corporate job, her content creation career, balancing her social life, balancing her faith. Like, she really makes it look so easy. So this episode has a little bit of something for everyone. Get ready, get your notebooks out, take some notes, because Alyssa comes through for us and shares some major gems on all things self-care, personal development, faith, content creation, literally all the things. So that is all I have to say. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So apparently this isn't an unpopular opinion like I thought it was, but the week before your period starts is definitely worse than being on your actual cycle. The cravings, skin breaking out, feeling unmotivated, it's a lot to deal with sometimes. And if you relate to any of this, let me put you on to something that's made my PMS easier to manage. It's called Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who experience PMS symptoms. So how it works is the ingredients in Estro Control help support the liver, which is where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, that's when we start experiencing having PMS. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves all throughout the month, because let's be honest, we get one good week if we're lucky. If you're interested in trying out Estro Control, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and use our promo code JSHAW at checkout. That's happymammoth, HappyMammoth.com and use our promo code JSHAH at checkout. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe it when you reached out and you were like, do you want to do the show? Absolutely. Immediately. Yes.
I know you are like the perfect fit for the podcast. I feel like we share very similar topics and our audiences are very similar. So I know my audience is going to love what you have to say, and your energy and your perspective is just so beautiful. I told you already. So please introduce us to who you are, what you do.
Of course. So my name is Alyssa, and I'm getting used to saying this part of my introduction, but I am a content creator and influencer. My niches, so they like to call them, are faith, lifestyle, wellness, and a little bit of self-care. So in addition to that, I am a corporate girly, so I do still work my 9-to-5. My background is in healthcare and business administration. And so currently right now, I'm just out here figuring it out, just using all my little gifts and talents that God has given me and making the best of it to just help people and serve people. So I'm here in Houston, Texas, and I am 27 years old. I was trying to stay 25 for as long as I could. Times have changed.
Girl, I'm right
with you. Times have changed. So I am at the nice good age of 27. And yeah, just out here in Houston, living my good old life, girl.
Girl, and you've been doing your thing. And I just have to say that you make it all look so easy, which I know it isn't. I know there's so much that goes into it, but balancing your 9-to-5 and your content creation journey and all the amazing things that you do and the value that you add, you make it look so easy. And I just can't wait to like get into like your journey more. But I just had to tell you that.
Thank you. I'm glad it looks easy. It is, you see how I look today. So it is quite the balance.
No, you're glowing, so you're good. But I wanted to talk to you about a few different things. First and foremost, I have loved seeing your journey from girlhood to womanhood and entering your grown woman era. I know you just had a birthday. Happy belated. And it feels like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you have entered this season where you are just your full self. Like the way that you show up just so confidently, so authentically is just so beautiful to see. And I'd love to hear the way that you've transitioned from girlhood to womanhood. What steps did you have to take? What changes did you have to make either internally or externally to kind of be this woman that we see today?
I love that. I love that you said internally and externally, because it was definitely factors from both sides. And I will say that the journey has taken place probably for about 3 or 4 years. And really, I feel like when I entered into what I like to call my self-improvement era, it was that decision where I wasn't just going through my day-to-day without being mindful of how I was showing up. And I identified that, you know, okay, there are other things that I can accomplish. There's more to life. There's more to me and what I've been called to do, and making that conscious effort to get to know myself. And so around that time, I came across this quote, and I don't even remember where. It's very likely, girl, it might've been on your show somewhere, but we're talking about knowing yourself more than like your favorite color is blue. And that is really what encouraged me and pushed me to figure out like who I was. And in my girlhood era, I've always been, in true transparency, see a people pleaser. I'm very non-confrontational. I've always, or previously, I lived my life to make sure that everyone else is okay and that they were happy, that they were proud of me, and that what I was doing worked for them. And that is how I lived my life for so long. And eventually I realized that the person that I was and the things that I did, I never stopped to question, like, hey, is this something that you actually believe in? Is this something that you actually like to do? Or is this just something that you do because the people around you do it, or because you think that's what they want you to do? And it was those types of questions and really processing that and breaking that down that allowed me to go on this journey of just getting to know myself. I wasn't necessarily improving or striving. I was just asking myself the hard questions, spending time with myself. I feel like moving out into my first place and living alone really opened that door for me to not have anyone to like sit with and talk to or kind of distract myself with. It was just me and this one bedroom apartment. And we were just diving deep and just getting to know the things that we enjoyed. And I felt like that was the very first step in that. And from that process, I learned so much about myself that I didn't know. And it's so interesting because especially as we get into the busyness of life, we feel like, you know, we spend time with ourselves or we know ourselves, but I really mean sitting down in silence with your thoughts and just allowing all of the distraction and busyness to just kind of halt and pause. And that is when I really got the opportunity to like dive deep and say, you know what, Alyssa, like you actually don't like this and you actually don't believe in this. And you actually were always meant to be this person. And that's where I feel like I got into that next phase, which was the idea of who I felt like I was called to be. I was able to envision her. And I'm very passionate about just about podcasts, about, you know, lifestyle influencers, anyone who shares perspectives and shows life in a lens that other people might not have access to. And that's what a lot of shows, just like yours, did for me. I didn't know anyone that was talking about self-improvement, that was talking about therapy, that was talking about healing. And once I became exposed to those things, I was able to figure out like, okay, I really relate and like resonate with this type of woman. And so what does that look like? Because it wasn't something that I saw in my day-to-day life. And so once I was able to really like detach from previous beliefs and create an idea of what I felt like I was being called to, I started to just step into that and explore that. And it definitely came with loss. I tell people that all the time. It's like the shedding experience. It came with a lot of feelings and emotions and, you know, friendships dissolved and opportunities went away. Fun was redefined. It came with so much shedding, but in all of that loss, I was able to make space for the things that I do and participate in now. And I feel like the shedding process was a big part of that for me, because if you don't make space for anything new, the next thing you know, you're not able to like evolve and step into that next era. And so through going through that process and, you know, really feeling isolated at one point, but at least having a vision of like, that's not who I was supposed to be. And knowing like, this is where I feel like God has called me, and really exploring what that looks like and owning that. And saying, you know what, if this person doesn't like it, if this person doesn't want to be my friend, if this opportunity isn't a good fit for me, then that's okay. But I'm going to stay true to who Alyssa really is, and then allow things to gravitate to me that also align with and resonate with that. So hopefully that kind of answers, but that's kind of what it felt like for me. It was like discovery and then shedding and then acceptance and then like owning it.
Absolutely. I completely resonate with your journey. And first and foremost, I just have to say the people pleasing and making sure that everyone else was okay before you gives very much big sister energy, oldest daughter energy. Tell me if that's you.
Yes.
Yes. Same. I completely resonate with you. And I think it's difficult to say, actually, no, I'm going to prioritize myself and actually see what I enjoy, what I like, what resonates with me. And I think a season of isolation is so, so important and necessary in order to figure out who you really are. And I definitely experienced a similar season where I had to ask myself these questions too and really understand, do I like doing these things? Do I enjoy hanging around these types of people? Or, you know, whatever questions came up. And did you experience, you know, like once you asked yourself these questions and you started figuring out what you liked, what you didn't like, was there a point where you felt like you were in the in-between space, almost as if you're letting go of who you were, but you were unsure of who you were yet? Because I remember feeling very lost and unsure of who am I? Like, I know I'm not this person, but I don't quite yet know who I am.
I definitely did. And, you know, as like you were communicating the question, I remember like the emotions that came to my mind were one, like uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I knew a good thing was happening, but it wasn't always fully comfortable because you build relationships with old habits and literally old relationships, whether that be dating or friendships, you have a connection to those things and it's how you've identified yourself. So as you start to let that go, you're absolutely correct, because on the other side of that, as you're trying to step into this newer version of yourself, now it feels like imposter syndrome because you're like, oh my goodness, you know, and the changes were extremely drastic as opposed to, you know, my lifestyle for me. It was things like giving up alcohol, not cussing anymore, just things that, you know, were completely night and day. And it was very hard for some people to accept and acknowledge that. And I would get the comments like, oh, you're trying to pretend like da 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 da, or like, you know, remember back, you know, just that constant reminders of like what used to be. And you have people in your life, whether consciously or subconsciously, like you're trying to step into like this new era, this new version, this new woman, and they're constantly trying to remind you of what was. And you're in the middle of like battling that because you're already not feeling very confident in the beginning. You're trying to explore something new and you're trying to step into something new. And so I just appreciate the people that I did have in my life, my parents, my best friend, who were super supportive of me going on this discovery journey and saying, you know, I think I'm going to stop doing that and try something different. And having that support as I navigated that and knowing that love was still there for me. And that helped me a lot be able to accept who I actually was and to stop being, you know, who I felt like everyone else needed me to be. But there was definitely a lot of confusion and discomfort. I don't say that to discourage anyone to on taking that journey, but just to say that those feelings and emotions are part of it. And that's one of the things that I always like to be transparent about. You know, I'm always very transparent about my experiences, but that's one of the things I like to be transparent about, is on the other side of it, it's absolutely beautiful and the journey never ends, but there are some difficulties. And I think sometimes people get this picture that like, I'm going to become this best version of myself and it's going to be just this amazing experience. And all of a sudden I'm going to be super productive and super healthy and super this. And it's like, yes, you know, you can definitely get there, but it's what you don't see behind the scenes of people who have like gone through that journey. And that's like the deep inner work. That's the questioning yourself. That's the imposter syndrome and constantly working through that so you can step into like who you actually are.
Yes, I completely resonate with that. And when you began kind of transitioning into who you really were always meant to be, did any of your values or principles change with that? And if so, like, what were those changes and what did that look like?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And so I know a big part of like what I consider my self-improvement journey now is heavily grounded and centered in my spiritual journey and my faith. And that was very new for me as well, because I was someone who grew up in their faith and grew up a believer, but I didn't really know like what God said about me and the beautiful things that he says about me as a Christian woman. And walking into that and learning about that as I'm also trying to learn myself and navigating a religious and a spiritual space and also navigating the world and knowing that I just want to strive to become a better person, it kind of led to me needing to find like a source of truth and help me sort of provide some level of framework of what my values are based on that idea and that woman that I wanted to become, which was a very, you know, gentle, loving, kind, modest woman of God. And that's what I wanted to embody. That's what I wanted to roll off of my tongue, roll off of my presence, which is grace and love and just the presence of God that's in my life and the favor of God that's in my life. And I feel like with kind of going deeper in my spiritual journey, that shifted my values. And so a lot mm-hmm. of the changes that I experienced and a lot of the values that changed for me, it was more so just saying, like, is this in alignment with what I believe to be true as a Christian woman? Is this in alignment mm-hmm. with what God says about me, that I'm fearfully mm-hmm. and wonderfully made? And so that is sort of how I started to look at things and approach things. And on the other end of that, I felt like my values, how I described them previously, again, were like predetermined. They were values mm-hmm. that I adopted, whether that be from my upbringing or even from the spiritual knowledge that I did have. It was all things that I accepted and adopted from being taught. It wasn't anything that I chose for myself. So some of the values didn't change. It was just an exercise of questioning everything. Like, if mm-hmm. I'm going to believe something and practice something and adopt something as a value, it's because this is what Alyssa truly believes in her heart and in her spirit to be true. And that is when I went through that exercise where I would like come across something, whether that be a habit or a belief about myself or about other people. And I would question that thing. I would break it down. Like, if this is something you believe, if this is something that you value, why? And being able to justify and support that. And I think that's what helps me walk more confidently in this part of mm-hmm. my life, is because everything that I believe and that I speak and that I choose to do, I have chosen that for myself. This is not something my parents taught me. This is not something my culture taught me. This is what Alyssa believes. And I'm still going through that process now. There are new things that come up and I'm like, okay, like, talking to myself, I'm like, okay, Alyssa, what do you believe about this? What's your opinion about this? And in the culture and world of social media, it can be very hard to do that. You know, sometimes when you're constantly hearing the opinions and the thoughts of others, it's very hard to form our own opinions these days. And that's why I just encourage that, like, you know, capture that thought and isolate it and ask yourself, like, okay, this is what this person says, and this is what this person says, and this is what I've been taught, but what do I feel about this? Mm-hmm. And what do I actually believe? And I feel like when you go through that process, you don't really question who you are anymore or why you do the things that you do, because you chose that for yourself. And I feel like that's a beautiful place to be in.
Absolutely. And an empowering place to be in as well. So nobody asked this, but I never ever used to wear bras, like, ever, because I found them to be so uncomfortable. That was until I discovered Honey Love, and I'm so happy that they are a sponsor of the podcast, because they have truly changed the bra game for me. If you're tired of underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat, you need to get some Honey Love's bras, okay? They feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing the lift. I went on a date the other night and the top I was wearing needed a bra, so I wore my Silhouette bra by Honey Love, and it felt like sucking skin. I was truly so comfortable in it and forgot I was even wearing a bra, to be honest. Honey Love has more than just bras though. They have incredibly comfortable shapewear. They have tanks and also leggings for everyday comfortable support. And since spring is just around the corner, what better time to do some spring cleaning and clean out your bra drawer and get rid of what doesn't fit, what doesn't feel comfortable, and get you some Honey Love. For a limited time only, you can get Honey Love on sale and get 20% off your entire order when you go to honeylove.com/jshaw. That's honeylove.com/jshah for 20% off your entire order. Go do some spring shopping, get you some comfortable bras, and thank me later. And I think the idea of questioning why you believe something or why you do something, like, that can be applied to every aspect of your life. Why do I choose to date these types of individuals? Why do I want to incorporate these types of habits? Because, like you said, we get influenced by social media or by other people and we think we should be doing X, Y, and Z, but do we truly want to? An example of this that I personally experienced was the 5 a.m. morning routine. I know you're a fan of it, and I love that for you. And it works for you because of your lifestyle and your needs, right? And that works for you. And I'm sure, you know, you've figured that out for yourself. And for me, because of the things that I would read or see on social media, I felt I also needed to incorporate a 5 a.m. morning routine. And then one day, I asked myself, why am I doing this? Do I actually want to do this? And I realized that I had a belief that in order to be successful, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. And if you don't wake up at 5 a.m., you're never going to be a successful person. And I had to sit with that and realize that isn't true. That's just my current belief. And so I decided to rewire that belief and give myself permission to wake up when my body naturally wants to wake up. And I feel much more productive and ready to take on the day versus forcing myself to do something I don't actually have to do. And so I just want to reiterate that asking yourself why is so, so key.
I love that. You know, I love that you hit on like the morning routine one specifically, because I know even in my last content, I'm very sensitive about sharing like content around morning routines mm-hmm. and different things like that, because I know that once you develop some level of influence, people do like look to you to kind of say like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I never wanted my content to become something where I felt like people were telling them, you know, this is exactly how I'm saying to do this. This is the only way to do this, because I know what it feels like to be in that space of self-discovery where you don't want to do what you're currently doing and you're trying to figure out what you could do differently, but not feeling like there's only one way to change that. And so I remember just like, as I was writing the caption for that last video, making sure that I was like, hey, you know, feel empowered and encouraged to take a piece of this or none of this or all of this, but really encouraging my audience to do what works best for them. Because like you mentioned, I choose that time frame simply based on the fact that by 9 a.m. I have a computer that I need to be sitting at, and I'm not from that until, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock at the end of the day. So I needed to optimize that time. But when your life and your circumstances are different, I always think about just moms and just people that have different circumstances and responsibilities. I am a young single woman and a little bachelorette pad, you know, so I completely understand. And I don't expect my routine to look like that when my responsibilities and my circumstances change. And so I always want to empower people to take those things with a grain of salt, you know, take pieces of things and try them out and twist them. So I love that you like identified that as well, because that's definitely a picture that people paint. And I'm not no means bash the, you know, how to become that girl content, but yeah. I do just encourage everyone, as you're consuming any level of content, to just be mindful that they're recommendations. They're not like law. They're not like, this is the only way that you can be that girl. This is what that girl looks like, and it looks no other way. It's just, you know, I think all of us who share self-improvement and content about just lifestyle and tips, we're just giving recommendations. We're just giving options and showing you what different routines look like. But it's for the person receiving that to say, like, how does this fit me? And like, what works for me? Just like you did. I think that's beautiful, because I definitely was the same way when I first started doing 5 a.m. It was like, this is how you do morning routines. Anything other than that is not a morning routine. And that's not true.
Yes. Take everything with a grain of salt. And that's something that I always try to emphasize on my episodes, especially when I'm like sharing tips or, you know, things that I'm doing. I always try to say, take what resonates, leave what doesn't. So aside from the way that you carry yourself, your energy, your values, your mindset, which I love, another thing that I admire about you is your style and the way that you romanticize your life and all the self-care practices you do. I know you're big on solo dates. I am too. So I just would love to like hear your perspective around that and like how you add that into your busy life.
Absolutely. So I think what really came from that, I adopted like a lot of my self-care practices after accepting the fact that being single did not mean that I was failing. And I say that because it was in a season where I was constantly feeling like if I wasn't in a relationship, my efforts and free time needed to be dedicated to figuring out how to get into one, whether that was like constantly dating someone or trying to, you know, figure out how to date someone or trying to make a relationship that wasn't working work, just constantly putting all my time and efforts into that. And then I was finally isolated enough to figure out like, hey, this isn't a bad thing. It's actually mm-hmm. a blessing. And I was able to accept my singleness and my isolation as a blessing, because I also accepted that this isn't my forever season. I know there's marriage and children in the plans for me. And so that allowed me to really say, okay, like, what do we do? Like, what do we like to do? How can we spend time with ourselves? Because no time is wasted time and no season is wasted time. And so once I realized, like, hey, like, it's okay that I'm in this season of like isolation and singleness. And that doesn't mean that I like wait around for a friend to be available or wait around for my next partner to come into my life. But life is happening right now. Like, life is happening each day when we wake up. And so I just wanted to find ways to explore that. And so that led to me really trying out different things and figuring out what I was comfortable doing alone. And so, like you said, I love solo dates, and I do like to get out and go on solo dates, mm-hmm. but I'm such a homebody. I found ways to date myself in the comfort of my home. And some of the things that I love doing, I know, you know, we're both flower girls. I yes. love myself some flowers, and I make everything just like a vibe and an experience. Mm-hmm. Like, you can definitely get your flowers from the grocery store or cut the things and just throw them in the vase. Like, you could do that. And if you do, that's okay. But you can also elevate that. And I love to like light a candle, move slowly while I do it, put on something comfortable, whether that be my pajamas or my robe, put something that I love to watch on the TV, have a glass of my non-alcoholic wine. And I just took that experience from throwing flowers in a vase to 10 to 15 minutes of just like winding down and doing something that I thoroughly enjoy. And I had to find smaller things like that as my schedule got busier and more compact, because I might not always have the time to go on the like solo movie and dinner date. And so it's just like, how do I find these things that I can do on a day-to-day basis? Also, as a corporate person, I feel like we save our life for the weekend. We like try to just wait until Saturday to do something. So it was just me trying to find ways to like adopt self-care practices and adopt things that I enjoy in my day to day. I've recently gotten back into reading, which I absolutely love. And I don't know what it is about those like YouTube white noise, like coffee shop, like, you know, visuals, but it would just be something about like dimming the light, turning on lamp light, again, putting on something super cozy. I love that you complimented my style. It's something that I'm trying to pay attention to, because I'm such a simple girl, but down to what I sleep in, like I take pride in that. There's no one else in here but me and my little Yorkie, but I like to be in nice robes and pajamas when I walk around my home, because it helps me feel better. And that might have been the only time that day that I had time to like get myself together and put on something nice. I work from home, so I'm normally in like sweats, you know, so I take pride in that like nighttime experience and, you know, putting on some white noise, lighting a candle, turning on the lamp, reading a book, you know, making a cup of tea. And I will say I might be enjoying it a little too much, because I'm having a hard time letting people into this. But that's really what happened. I was just like, you know, I love the self-care originally felt like it had to be something super big. It had to be a massage or spa day, or, you know, going out and like doing something and getting dressed, like going on a solo dinner day. And I realized that that wasn't always going to be available to me, just depending on the week. But I didn't want to take away the time that I took to do something nice for myself, even if it was just cooking dinner on a Tuesday night. It's like, how can we do this in a way that feels relaxing and feels a little bit different than like rushing around my kitchen, you know, throwing pots around? And that just looks like a Netflix show. A candle to me elevates all my experiences. Yeah, that's pretty much like what I like to do. Like, I love to do things in the comfort of my home, and I needed to make self-care obtainable for me in a realistic way. And that's kind of how I came about like doing some of these small things.
Yes. And that just goes to show, it just takes a few extra steps to really elevate an experience. And that's something that I'm big on too. It's like, you can do something and just get it done, or you can enjoy the process of doing it. And I love to enjoy everything when I'm cooking, when I'm taking a bath, when I'm doing my skincare. Like, why not elevate every experience? And it's very practical. It doesn't have to take anything, you know, extreme. So I love that you mentioned that, because I think doing things like that helps us to appreciate and fall in love with every season of our lives, instead of always wishing for the next season or for a more exciting season. It's like we can find ways through effort, through our perspective, to enjoy where we currently are.
I completely agree. And I think it's just, again, like we talked about, when you're trying to figure out, like, I didn't grow up seeing self-care done in my household. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with a mom who like did self-care. And so that was a concept that I learned through watching other people's experiences and how they practice that. And originally, when you're learning something new, I feel like you try to adopt exactly what you see, because you're just like, okay, I don't really know how to do this. Like, how do you do self-care? So that's where it was like, you know, seeing how other people did self-care and trying that out, but then adjusting that to figure out like, okay, like what works with me and like my schedule, and what of this, like what parts of this do I like and enjoy, and what parts like don't I enjoy, and just kind of going from there. But just knowing that like self-care starts with self. So it's about you. Like, even though I might love cutting flowers and, you know, like we're talking about like doing skincare and things like that, self-care for someone else might look completely different. And I think the sooner we realize that, the more people will feel that self-care is going to come more naturally, because it's not defined to like this specific set of like task or the specific set of like actions, but it's defined as like taking the opportunity to do something for yourself that fills you up and fuels you. And that looks different from person to person.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like pretty much our whole conversation comes down to figuring out who you truly are and what you truly like. And that is going to impact or influence every aspect of your life, from how you practice self-care, your routines, your dating, everything, your style. So moral of the story, if you take anything away from this episode, is figure out who you truly are.
Yes.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk a little bit more about your faith, because I know it's a big part of your life. You do faith-based content as well. And I know a lot of your community connects with you based on your faith content. And I just would like to know how you incorporate your faith into your daily routine and your lifestyle choices. And do you have any rituals that are important to you as part of your faith-based lifestyle?
Absolutely. And I love talking about this. And when I think about it, I like light up. It's like, you know, when you get in a new relationship and you just like have this glow about you. But I say all that to say it's because through my faith, I have experienced true love and peace and happiness and comfort and support and things that I had been searching for in so many other ways. And I finally feel like these kind of holes or voids that I had in my life have started to become filled. And I feel like it's so interesting, because I started on this journey. And I was just talking to someone about this, because I found like a devotional book that my grandma gave me a couple years ago. And it was just like, it was called 1 Minute Devotions. And it was just something that you read in the morning. It takes 1 minute. And that was actually how I started my own journey and understanding my faith and building my own personal relationship with God. It was just through this 1 minute little brown leather book, 1 Minute Devotions. And 1 year I read it all the way through, and it piqued my interest. And then I just started to dive deeper and deeper into it, to where I have formed my own personal relationship with God. And that was so important for me, because again, it was one of those things where I genuinely declared myself as a Christian, because that is what I was born into. That's who my parents were and who my family was. But choosing it for myself and going on that journey was just so, it was so beautiful. And I feel like the way that I incorporate that into my daily life is making it a priority. It wasn't something that was optional for me and I didn't operate in my own strength and in my own desires, but I now understood and acknowledged the Lord as my higher power who I know leads me and guides me. And so Alyssa's not out here alone just doing what Alyssa wants to do. And it's out of the love that I have for him that I'm able to do those things. It's not about religion and law. It's about relationship. And now that I have this very deep and intimate relationship with him, it's easy for him to become a part of my life. It's actually hard to separate the two. I can't do anything without talking about him or including him or asking him. And that kind of came over time. But I say all that to say it started very small. And I think that when you're embarking on a spiritual journey for yourself, you can't look at where you think you're supposed to be or what you think you're supposed to be doing. You go into it with an open heart and open mind, and he does all of the rest and just pulls you in and embraces you. And for me, it was just this exposure of like, oh, this is what love feels like. And some of the ways that I love to spend time with him, there's so many ways. But definitely my morning devotional time. I still do that same thing. I like to journal. A lot of my journaling has turned into prayers, just writing prayers like I'm just talking to him openly as if he's sitting right in front of me. And every single morning, I always say like, okay, I'll meet you here tomorrow. Like same place, beautiful. Same time. And I get my devotional book, I get my journal, I get my pen, I make my coffee. And every morning I meet him there and I go through that same practice. And some days it goes a little bit deeper. You know, there's church, there's Bible studies, there's all these different things that add to that. There's worship, there's music involved. There's all those different things. But I always like to make sure that there's conversation and there's thanks and there's gratitude and there's acknowledgement. And that was something that was difficult for me to do publicly, because it wasn't something that I feel like a lot of people share. A lot of people have great spiritual relationships, but they keep them very private because you're not supposed to talk about them on the work at work. You're not supposed to talk about that, you know, on social media. That's just something that's a part of like your household. But that was something that I learned for me wasn't true. I was called to express and to share and to pique interest into what it looks like to truly have an intimate relationship with him. Because when you don't get to know him for yourself, you're limited to what other people say and think about who he is and how much he loves you and cares about you. And so I like to share the personal and intimate parts of my relationship with him to let people know that one, it's available to you, and two, it's okay. It's okay to say publicly like, wow, like I love him. I love the Lord. Like, okay, I believe in this. Like, this is a part of my life, and to share that and transparency. I was very nervous to share my relationship with God, especially on social platforms, because as a monetized content creator, I was like, oh my gosh, no one's going to want to work with me. But at the end of the day, I felt so passionately about my spiritual beliefs that I could not separate the two. I could not mention him. And so I just took a leap of faith. And it was just like, I can't be ashamed of the one person who provides everything that I have. And the complete opposite happened. I talk about the all throughout my content. And, you know, I'm still working with large brands. I'm still experiencing all of the things. And so I wanted people to see, like, you can publicly declare your faith and you can be proud of that and walk in that and still receive all of the blessings that we feel like the world has to offer.
I love that. I love how you described it as a relationship, to pour into the relationship in order to see it blossom and thrive. And I wanted to talk about, how have you navigated any criticisms that has come from you walking in your faith so confidently and authentically?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I feel like, you know, what's interesting is, as a believer, a lot of the criticism that I receive is from other believers versus people who not necessarily declare themselves as believers. And I felt like when I entered into that space too, that was surprising to me as well. I was like, oh, the opposite of what I thought I was going to experience. But it goes back to intimacy and relationship and knowing truth. And it's like, it's the same thing with your, if you're dating someone and you know the relationship that y'all have, you know how that person feels about you, you know what that person says about you. So if someone else comes to you and they try to say like, hey, he doesn't even really like you, it's like, no, that's not true. Like, that's not true, because I know what I know, what I know. And so all of the negativity that I may have received, and honestly, it hasn't been much. I think I've sparked more curiosity, and I feel very proud when people share with me like, hey, you have inspired me to go on my own walk with the Lord. So definitely been more of that than the negativity, but the negativity has been there as well. But I was able to overcome that because, like I said, I know him for myself. If I didn't, then someone would be able to come in and tell me like, he doesn't like when you do that, or he doesn't like when you say that. But I took it upon myself to know the word of God and to also know and recognize his voice. And I always think about this example when we talk about, you know, how do you know God's voice, or piquing that interest of like, how can you hear from him, or how do you know when he's talking to you? And I remember hearing this analogy of a woman shared how before we had caller ID on our phones, when someone would call and they would say hello, you know who the person is, even though there's not caller ID, because you talk to them and you know their voice. And so it's through talking to God and that you're able to recognize what he says and the kinds of things he says. So sometimes people will say things and I'm like, I know him. He doesn't sound like that. And not audibly sound, but he doesn't talk like that. And so I'm able to truly shut down what's false and go back into accepting what I know to be true. And that has helped me completely overcome. And there are times where I've been sad or hurt by things, because when you come at things, you have pure intentions. I'm not a perfect believer. I'm still learning. I'm still going on this walk as well, but I know my heart's intentions. And so it makes it easier for me to say, you know what? I know that me publicly declaring my faith is going to cause you to look at me differently or try to put me in a higher light, but I love God. I am not God. And so therefore I know that I'm not called to perfection. I'm an imperfect woman serving an absolutely perfect God. So that's how I navigate that.
I love that. That is so beautiful. And when you are dealing with more challenging seasons, maybe you're, if you struggle, I don't know if you do, but if you struggle to trust in God's timing, or you're learning to surrender, or maybe you really want something to happen, but it's just not happening the way that you want it to. When you deal with those types of situations, is it easy for you to say, okay, God, I understand? Or do you sometimes find yourself struggling to trust what God has in store for you? And if so, how do you get back to trusting what God has in store for you, or trusting the timing of things?
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a great question. And I actually, I am really struggling with that, honestly, because I am someone who likes to know answers. When I have a question about something, I'm like, okay, so is this the right thing or the wrong thing? Is this my person or is this not my person? Do you want me to do this or not? And he doesn't just respond, or like, you know, he's not a genie, doesn't grant wishes and just give me everything that I want or tell me everything I want to hear. And so I do struggle with that. And I also go back to, you know, are you there? Like, are you still there? Do you hear me? But the easiest way that I've been able to continue to kind of overcome that, and for me, it's a repeated process. Like, I get to this place of trust and surrender, and I'm in this really great spot. And then I go through something or I experience something and I'm like, well, why did you do that? You know, like, why did that happen? And then I work my way back into that place of trust and surrender. And it's sort of like a cycle. And it's not because he changes. It's because I'm a human and I have emotions and I change, but he stays the same. And so the way that I'm able to typically get myself back to that space is, again, relying on what I know to be true. And that is that he loves me and he's for me and he cares about me. And he's able to see things that I can't see. I remember one day I was in prayer in my bedroom, and I hardly ever pray in my bedroom. And I was praying and I had the door closed. And so I'm sitting in this room and there's like four walls around me and I can't see. And I remember he was talking to me and I'm freaking out about something and I'm, you know, I'm anxious. And he's like, you can't see what's on the other side of the wall, but I can see everything above you, beneath you, and around you. So who has the best sight in this situation? And it was just that interesting experience where it's like, you're absolutely right. Like with these door closed and these walls, I can't even see my kitchen. So it's like, it is much better for me to trust you because of the way that you see and the things that you know than to try to trust what I see because my sight is so limited. And so it's acknowledging how magnificent and powerful he is compared to us as his creation, and then being able to rest in that place. And that's definitely something that has helped me, is having those, but that's relationship, right? That's through conversation mm-hmm. with them that I'm able to kind of experience those things. And then the second part of that is looking back historically over my life. And so a lot of times mm-hmm. I come across something and I'm anxious, or I'm like, this isn't happening fast enough. Like I'm still waiting on this. Like, you know, what's going to happen? Like just wanting to know the outcomes of things. And he'll take me back through like times in my life where I felt the same way. And I shared this recently in a TikTok about reading some old journal entries from like 2 or 3 years ago. And I mean, I'm reading them and I was panicking about something. It was related to my job and a job offer, and they gave it to me and they took it away and I lost it. And so I'm reading, I'm sure you can resonate with this, I'm reading these old journal pages. And then like a week later, I got like a much better offer and I'm happy. And I'm like, I got the job today. And like, you know, but it was like a reminder that we experience things in real time with no insight on what's to come. And he knows exactly what's going to come. And so when I think about all of those times, it doesn't prevent me from experiencing it, but it comforts me while I'm in it to be like, mm-hmm. hey, we've been here before and look what he did. Look how he brought you out of that thing. And so it's looking mm-hmm. at those past experiences where I've been in waits, or I've experienced disappointment, or I've experienced loss, or I've heard a no. And then either it's months or days or it's years later, but at the end of the day, I've never looked back on something and he not have brought me out either better than I could have ever imagined, or at least given me an answer, comfort, and closure in that situation. And so that really helps me when I get to those points. It's just thinking back on all the ways that he's been good.
That is so powerful. And what advice would you have, or tips or tools would you have for anyone who's looking to maybe start their spiritual journey or deepen their spiritual journey? What, I know we talked a little bit about that, but if you could, anything you wish you knew when you were beginning to deepen your spiritual journey?
There's so much. I think the first thing would be, depending on where you are, you know, start small, like start with what's feasible and reasonable. It's as come as you are, right? Don't fix mm-hmm. yourself up and try to make yourself perfect and then come. You come as you mm-hmm. are, you come broken, you come disappointed, you come confused, you come with questions, but don't let that discourage you from just coming and saying, hey, I don't know you that well, and I'd like to get to know you. And I know for me, again, I look at God as a partner, a father, a friend. And so when I talk to him or I talk about him, it's literally conversation. I think of it, and I'm like, hey, I don't know you that well. I kind of want to get to know you. Like you would say to an actual person, you know?
Yeah.
And going into it that way and just continuing to build that personal relationship with him. There are great resources and things that are out there, but there's nothing better than just getting to know your faith, what you believe in for yourself, and feeling very confident in that. But it doesn't have to look like, you know, going from not really embarking on the journey to like reading the entire, but like just take it slow and get mm-hmm. and just step into the space. I think that would be the first thing. The second thing that I would say is be open and give yourself grace, because mm-hmm. we are an imperfect creation and he knows that, and he wants to work with that, and he still loves us and all of that. And so I would say give yourself grace. It can be a very I feel like a lot of people don't talk about this, but it can be very discouraging to step into that, because it's not always seen and communicated as loving and open and available to everyone, and it genuinely is. And so it's just going into that with grace for yourself, not worried about your past mistakes. It doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what I did this morning. We get fresh grace and mercy every single day. And so just being graceful with ourselves, because that grace has already been given to us. It's a gift. And then the last thing that I would say is just don't give up. Like, don't give up. Don't feel like, okay, I don't hear anything. It's not working. I don't feel anything. Just create a level of consistency and give that spiritual relationship the same attention and effort you would give to anything else in your life, whether that be a weight loss goal, whether that be a new job, whether that be growing a following. Like, give your relationship, your spiritual relationships, that same love, time, and attention that you give to everything else. And when you do that, you will see the fruits of that, and you will grow in your walk and in your own personal relationship.
Absolutely. And I think you are living proof of that. And we'll get into that in a moment. But I just want to say that that is such sound advice. And I'm sure it's going to help so many people who are on their journey trying to deepen their spiritual faith or even just begin. So thank you for being so open about your faith and what you believe in. And I know that it takes so much courage and strength to be able to do that. And watching you and hearing the way that you speak with such conviction is honestly so inspiring, and I admire it so much. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So I have a question for all of my busy girls out there. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go on a walk, maybe take a nap, finally read that book that you picked up at Barnes & Noble's, maybe catch up with your girlfriends for a little dinner date? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what exactly? Let's really think about that. If time was unlimited, how would you use it? For me, the best way to make time for the things I want is to know what's important to me and making that a priority in my schedule. I used to feel like I never had enough time to do all of the things I wanted to do or things I thought I wanted to do. And my therapist made me recognize where I was wasting time and energy on things that actually weren't important to me. And through the right tools and questions, I was able to recognize what's actually a priority for me, what wasn't, and I was able to find ways to make time for all of the things that do matter to me. And as a result, my life feels so much more well-balanced and fulfilled because I'm actually making time for all of my needs and wants, and therapy can help you do the same as well. If you're thinking of starting therapy, definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your own schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. To get 10% off your first month of therapy, visit betterhelp.com/glowwithit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/glowwithit. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. Before we end off this episode, we have to talk about your journey as a content creator. Like, obviously, we have to talk about it because the way that it has completely blossomed and transformed your life, just I need to like hype you up right now. So in a matter of like maybe a year, you've built such a powerful community. You've of over 100,000 on Instagram, on TikTok. I know you just hit 10K on YouTube. You went on your first brand trip. You went on your first brand dinner last night. I just have to give you your flowers. Oh, and you hosted your first online seminar and you have another one coming up. It's just like you are thriving and I love to see it. And I kind of want to get into how has content creation changed your life and what do you believe has led to your success on social media? Aside from obviously your amazing content, what else do you feel has played a role in being where you are today?
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I think it has gone relatively quickly to the point where it takes me a very long time to process. Like, I feel like I'm still catching up myself with like what is happening. But I really feel like when I first started content creation, I really started it because I wanted people to listen to my show. And I was like, well, my best friend told me, if you want people to listen to you, you have to like put yourself out there and make yourself someone that people people would want to listen to. They don't know you. And so I had no idea how to do that. So I started off making like the funny, like skit TikToks and like, just, I don't know, trying to figure out how to work the app. And of course I gravitated to TikTok because I'm like, nobody from high school, we're like, nobody knows me over here. So like, I can just kind of try things out and it will be okay. And so I started doing that. And originally what really changed the trajectory for my content creator career, I feel like, was when I first started getting connected with like brand opportunities, and they were like Amazon brands, like just, you know, people just wanting to kind of create content. And I've always been a person that like, I love an extra dollar. I don't care if it's $50. I don't care. You know, like I love an extra dollar. And so I was like, oh, like this is a thing, like this is kind of cool. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'll just kind of do that on the side. And then eventually it started to evolve. But I feel, I say all that to say that I walked into this space very unclear, didn't have any direction. I didn't have a niche. I was just out here making videos, trying to figure things out. And I'm so glad that I did that, because I'm one of those people who really likes to go into things like an expert. I want to know how to do it already. I don't want anyone to know that I don't know how to do it. And so I was so glad that I walked into that space and just kind of allowed myself to grow and learn and kind of get my feet wet, because it allowed me to just explore so many different types of like content creation. I would try to do like beauty videos and I was like, that's not really for me. And eventually, like, I just started to find myself. But I think what has really led, if I could say anything, other than, of course, I'm going to mention this, but other than like the favor that God has placed on my life, if I could say anything else helped me to then like grow to the point that I've grown, it's being authentic. And I do have, I was just talking to someone about this, and I do have relatively aesthetically pleasing content. That does not make it inauthentic. I'm very vulnerable and transparent. And I felt like what I wanted to do, once I realized that I was growing an audience immediately, I'm like, okay, how do I serve these people? Because what I don't want is to make anyone feel not good about themselves. I want to help you feel good about yourself. And I shared earlier that one of the things I love about content creation, whether that's through visuals, videos, reels, TikToks, podcasts, is that I think it exposes people to something that they may not be able to see. And once I realized that I had been given access to a community, I was like, oh, this is my opportunity to pour into you, to show you about self-care, to tell you about, you know, my faith, and to tell you about, like, you know, modest dressing, different things that I like to exude through my content. And I felt like people like to see themselves in content. I know I do. When I resonate with something, it's because I'm like, I feel you, girl. I see myself in that. And I really felt like I tried to do that in my content. And the second thing that I would say, versus trying to be as relatable as possible, was treating people like people. Like, yes, they are online, but at the end of the day, it does get harder as the growth comes. But I like to respond to comments. I like to respond to DMs. I like to answer questions. And all of those conversations, all of the engagement that I've done, it's not, I'm sure you resonate with this as well, it's not always public to where people can see. I remember sitting on the floor one night, responding to DMs for 4 hours, answering questions, sharing products. People were asking for prayers. And I took the time to pour into my community. And I feel like when you properly steward something, then it continues to grow and God continues to bless you. And so I don't do that because, okay, I'm only going to do this because I want to continue to grow. I do that out of the kindness of my heart. But I realize that like people want to feel seen and heard and they appreciate a simple thank you. It's not always easy and I don't always do it perfectly, but I have genuinely tried, no matter what size my audience was, to nurture them, to pour into them, to connect with them, whether that be through lives, responding to DMs, responding to comments, you know, following here and there and like boosting their content, just doing different things like that to let people know, like, I see you, I'm grateful for you. And I felt like that was another thing that I wanted to do, was constantly express my gratitude for my community, because all of the things that you've listed would not be possible if people didn't decide to show up for me and to show up for my content. It's not one-sided. I could create the best content in the world if no one engaged with it. then mm-hmm. I would not have, you know, any of the opportunities that I have available to me. And so I consider my community equally a part, an equal contributor to my success as I see myself. Like, I'm the curator of the content. I put the content out, but it's a partnership. And I know mm-hmm. I can't like pour into people in a monetized way, but I can pour into you and uplift you and share things that are encouraging and are truthful and are beneficial to society in a world where, you know, we're just filled with like so much noise. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. if you've had a really rough day and maybe you didn't have time for self-care, at least we can sit here for 30 seconds together and like cut some flowers and I can just give you something to soothe your mind. And that's sort mm-hmm. of how I like to think of it. But I really feel like it was letting myself be imperfect online, even though it might not always show visually, because I do like to curate a certain type of content. I like to communicate it in my messaging and mm-hmm. also making sure that I'm engaging with and pouring into my community. The last mm-hmm. thing I would say is like creating what I like to create, because it was very hard when I started to build an audience to try and figure out, like I said in the beginning, what does everybody else like? What does everybody else want to see? And I started to get into that the same way I did in my personal life, my personal relationships. I started to build that same thing with my community. And that made it hard for me to create and curate content that performed well, because I was creating things that didn't truly resonate with me and I didn't enjoy it. And it showed. Versus when I would create a video that I really enjoy, that's fun for me, that I'm passionate about, those pop because I've put my best effort into that and I also enjoy creating it. And so I had to realize my goal was not to get everyone to follow me. My goal was to find my people and for them to connect with me and for us to have common things that we like share. But I had to switch my mindset from I'm trying to attract everyone to I'm trying to attract a specific community. It's very hard to do it in the creator space because it's a numbers game. And so it's always, you know, like, okay, well, how do I get more? How do I boost engagement? How do I grow my following? But I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, God, I don't want everybody. I want my people. I want my girls. Like, help them find me. Help me find them. And literally, if I stop right here, and this is my audience size, this is my audience size. It's not about getting to the next milestone or reaching the next, you know, whether that be. And I will say that too. Let me back up. I feel like being in this space was very difficult because I was finding myself not being ungrateful, but like not acknowledging the wins. It was just like you hit one milestone, you hit 10K, but it's not 100K. You hit 100K, but it's not. Now everybody's hitting 400, 500. You constantly feel like, you know, I can't get to this point where I feel like I've done enough. And I have to constantly like talk myself out of that because I don't want to attract everyone. I genuinely don't. I don't have to be, you know, someone that has two million followers. I just want to continue to pour into the people that want to see my content, like what I put out, and are supportive of me and my messaging. And that's kind of where I got. So I think I said a lot, but hopefully I gave like my three things.
No, I love it. I love how you emphasize wanting to find your people versus speaking to everyone. I think that's so important for any content creator out there. I think you gave some really great tips on, I was going to ask you if you had any tips for anyone trying to start content creation, but I think you did really well with that. And I know when it comes to like fostering a community and really building engagement, you have a seminar coming up on that. So can you talk a little bit more about what that entails? And are people able to access the first seminar?
Yes. Well, anyone can buy the second one because it's open. But if you do attend the second one, you also get access to the first one as well. And I'm very excited about this. So I had the opportunity to partner with someone. And this was a perfect timing because I was getting a lot of questions about content creation and my journey and editing and building a community. And again, I like to respond to people, but I was repeating myself and I was like saying the same thing to different DMs and in different ways. And I was just like, okay, she presented this opportunity for me to package what I know and what I've learned and to deliver that in like a structured way. And so I appreciate Jordan so much for giving that opportunity. But really what the second session is going to be about, the first one was very foundational, which I felt like it was important. It was about planning. It was about editing. It was about the schedule, you know, for a content creator, whether you're full time or you balance it with other responsibilities. And so the second one is about, once you kind of understand foundationally, you understand your personal story, you understand what you want to create, you understand kind of how to edit, schedule, do the fundamentals. Now let's talk about like building a community. And I love to talk about this because I feel like, especially if one of your goals is to monetize your content, or to like convert your content audience to like business or sales or something with your entrepreneurship journey, followers does not equal dollars. And every time I see someone stressing that, I'm like, retweet, like emphasize, because I think that's such a large misconception, is that, you know, not even dollars, but followers doesn't equal value. Followers doesn't equal engagement. Followers is simply one small metric, a part of content creation. But what drives everything else is community and actually having like an engaged audience. Because if you go viral on one video and 75,000 people come overnight, that does not mean that 75,000 people are engaged with you and your content and your purpose. And that doesn't lead to results. And so what we're really going to be talking about is, how do you, one, foster community at any level, despite your following size? How can you start to do that now? And then how do you then grow and scale that community once you have figured out how to engage with them and how to pour into them? And what's available to you once you do that? What are the results of a engaged community? Like, what can come from that? What are the options that are available? And so we're going to be really hitting on that, and I'm excited about it. And I know that for me, with a decent following size, it may seem a little bit contradicting, but I learned very early on, because I was a person on TikTok that grew a following from a viral video, that that did not necessarily mean that I had developed a community. And that's what I wanted. Alyssa always wanted community. I've always wanted my, you know, my girls. That's what I call them. Like, I really wanted to cultivate an online community of people. And I wanted them to know, like, you're not just a number on the screen. Like, you're my girl, and I care about you, and I'm here for you. And I may not be able to respond immediately or to every single message all the time, but like constantly making sure that if you are a part of my space, you're cared for, you're in my prayers, and like, I got you. And so for people who are interested in community, because everyone isn't, and that's okay. Like, if you don't want community and you just want followers, this is not the session for you. But if you are genuinely interested in growing an online community, which I feel like you have done a beautiful job at, Jasmine. And I think it's because of the value that you add and the way that you pour up and show up for this space consistently for years. I'm just like, how did, girl, I did one season and I was like, I can't make my way back. But, you know, consist, like, that's appreciated, you know, and people realize, they acknowledge, like, hey, like, this person really cares. They constantly show up. They constantly pour out. And now you're starting to build community. Now relationships are starting to be developed. And I know it's virtual and I know it's online, but I know you can probably resonate with this. Like, I care about my audience. I genuinely care about them. And I hope that that shows through like the way I show up online.
Oh, first of all, thank you so much for that compliment. But it absolutely does show your girls have poured into you since, I think, at every stage that you've been at in your content creation journey. You've always had such amazing engagement in a community. And I think that is a reflection of the attention and love that you pour back into them. It definitely shows. And I think if anyone is going to be talking about this, it should be you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I will be sure to link, if anyone wants to sign up, I'll be sure to link that down below. But before we end off today's episode, Alyssa, I just wanted to say again, thank you so much for sharing your time, your energy, your words of wisdom. I really have enjoyed today's conversation like so much. You know, those friends that you have where every time you talk to them, you hang out with them, you leave feeling so full. That's how I feel. That's how I feel right now. And I know, you know, people listening will also leave feeling that way too. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I always tell you, like, every single time we would like compliment each other, or like say something, like, I always try to acknowledge the role that you played. Like, I genuinely, when I tell my story, like, JGW was at the beginning with me as I was like trying to figure out life, myself, like how to care for myself, what to do, especially in a season where I felt like no one understood me. And like, I didn't really have anyone to talk to. Like, I would just listen to the podcast and feel so seen and so heard. And I just want you to know, like, I hope you see, like, you are a part of this. The way that you poured into me through your podcast, like, things that I still practice, journaling, JGW Jim. Okay. I was not journaling. There are so many ways. And I know you probably don't always get to see it from like all of us who listen to your show, but please know like you are dropping gems and making practical impacts in people's lives that stay with them for years. Like I've been listening to your show for years and I still practice a lot of the things that we've talked about. And I just want to thank you for constantly showing up. I know this is not easy to manage. I applaud you so much. You do such a great job and this is a phenomenal show. And I'm just really proud of you. I know everything's going to pop off right when it's supposed to. And I'm going to be right there, girl, just like I am right now in those DMs and in those stories.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, that's okay. You can cry. You've earned it.
It's hard when you feel like you're giving so much and nothing's happening, especially if, you know, you don't, like, I don't see or hear from every person that listens to the podcast. And so it can feel like you're creating content and you're putting all this energy for nobody. So it's hard to keep the faith sometimes, but people like you or like other people that DM me, it reminds me, keep going. Like you're doing something. So thank you so much for that.
I just love you, girl. I love you.
I love you too. So where can people find you? Is the podcast coming back? Like what's going on?
First of all, when I tell you my girls are going to eat me up when I share this episode, like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. But you know what? Hopefully they'll all be over here and just get a little bit of that podcast experience on JGW. But where can you find me? So my social handles are the same on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. It's True to List, TRUTOLYSS. And I realize no one knows what that means, but it's short for True to Alyssa. And as I started to grow an audience, I recognized that this space can be very influential and can kind of make you put your values and things down for whether that be for a check or for more followers. And so it is my reminder as I show up online to always stay true to who Alyssa is and what she believes in. So True to List, TRUTOLYSS. The podcast is being made whole. I've been off air for a year, but it is coming back soon. Super excited to just kind of share what life has brought over the last couple of years. And yeah, that's where y'all can find me.
And there you have it, my loves. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation today. I would love to know what was your favorite takeaway, your favorite aha moment or gem that you wrote down in your journal. I honestly loved everything that we talked about today, like truly. So I don't know if I can pick just one. If I could pick a few, I think like the biggest thing for me leaving today's conversation was the importance of getting to know who you truly are. Because once you know who you are, what you value, what you stand for, what you truly believe in and want out of life, then you can start creating the life that you want, moving in the way that you want, doing the things that you want to do. But it starts with getting to know yourself truly, authentically. And sometimes that's a little scary. Sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. But hopefully with creators like Alyssa and the tools and the words of wisdom that she provides, it makes the journey a little bit less scary. I also loved Alyssa's tip on being her authentic self to attract her people and her people only. As a content creator myself, I definitely find myself in this place where I want to attract my people. And I think that's a big tip that I'm going to take away and apply as I show up and create content and show up for you guys, is making sure I'm speaking, I'm creating for my people. That was such an amazing tip. But honestly, everything that we talked about was so great. But I would love to hear what was your favorite takeaway. Feel free to message us on Instagram or whatever platform that you're on. We would love to hear what your thoughts were on today's episode. And that is all I have to say for today's conversation. I did want to give a little heads up. Next week, we'll probably be doing a solo episode just because it's been a minute since we've had a little one-on-one, heart-to-heart, and I still want to keep the solo episodes, even though we're adding more interviews and conversations on the podcast. I still want to keep the solo episode. So be ready for that next week. Be sure to check out our sponsors for today's episode as well. And if you want to connect with Alyssa more, the links to her socials and everything will also be in the show notes. So that is all I have to say. I hope you all have an amazing week. As always, until next time, remember to just glow with it.